This morning, we're going to be continuing the Prove It series. This is week number 3 of Prove It. We're talking about 8 reasons why everybody has a reason to believe. We've talked about for the last 2 weeks that it is impossible to prove God, but it is also impossible to disprove Him. But there are many facets of our world and our physical universe that point to the undeniable existence of God. And we're going to be uncovering those. We're going to continue that this morning. By the way, before we jump into this, I want to take a second to glorify Jesus above all else. He's the only one who deserves our glory. He's the only one who deserves our worship. There's nobody like Jesus. And also, you can clap for that. Hey, there's nobody like Jesus. And also, can we give it up for the mothers in the house this morning? Can we give it up for all the mothers here today? We love you. And we're so thankful that you're joining us this morning. Directly following this service, we're going to be taking portraits right as you exit in the lobby with you and your mother. You get the whole family in there. As many of you can squeeze in is fine. But make sure that you do that while you're leaving this morning. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalm chapter 19, beginning in verse number 1. Psalm chapter 19, beginning in verse number 1. In case you weren't here for the previous 2 weeks, I want to take a second really quickly to recap the previous 4 points that we have already covered. Number 1, we're talking about prove it. 8 reasons that we should all believe in the existence of a creator. Number 1, the Bible itself is scientifically accurate. The prophet Isaiah beat modern science by several thousand years in many predictions, such as the earth is a sphere, it is circular in nature. Also, in the book of Job, which is the oldest text in the Bible, it tells us that the earth, when God created it, it was suspended by nothing. And that beat modern science by 3,000 years. The Bible is scientifically accurate. No matter what anybody wants to tell you, it is absolutely the infallible Word of God. Point number 2 was the 12 martyrs. And we talked about how those who were closest to Jesus were willing to lay down their lives because they had seen the resurrected, glorified Christ Jesus the King. And their death spoke so loud, spoke volumes, and the gospel resonated throughout the corners of the earth because of these 12 martyrs who surrendered their life. I wouldn't die for a lie, would you? These men saw something in Jesus. Point number 3 was that the Bible is historically accurate. We talked about how the Bible described the Hittites and the Assyrian empires thousands of years before archaeologists could ever uncover that those empires actually existed. The Bible was the only historical account of those ancient empires, but it foretold just what archaeologists would find several thousand years later. And point number 4 was purpose obsession. We talked about last week, how is it that if the universe was completely random and completely chaotic, how could randomness give life to people who are obsessed with purpose? The fact that we have a drive within all of us to discover the reason for which we live, the purpose factor is what points to a creator unlike anything else. Because if this were random and this life were meaningless, what would purpose have to do with it? But how in the world, Sir John Templeton said, how in the world could a universe that is completely random give life to people who are obsessed with purpose? This morning, we're continuing on. Point number 5 in this series is simply this: the heavens speak. And I am really excited about this one. Psalm chapter 19, beginning in verse number 1. The heavens tell of the glory of God. The skies display His marvelous craftsmanship, and day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make Him known. They speak without a sound or without a word, yet their voice is silent in the skies. Verse 4, yet their message has gone out to all the earth, and all their words to all of the world. I love Psalm 19. I love the first 4 verses of Psalm 19. It says that the heavens tell of the glory of God. Day after day, they tell of the greatness of our God. And night after night, they declare His greatness. If nobody ever preached to you, if nobody ever sang a religious song to you, the heavens will tell the story on their own. How many of you know creation speaks louder than our words? Creation declares the greatness and the glory of God unlike anything in the history of the world. The heavens tell the gospel better than any of us could ever tell it, and it tells it consistently, day after day, morning after morning, and night after night. I want to point your attention to what the psalmist is really telling us here in Psalm 19. This is absolutely phenomenal. Number one, the heavens declare the glory of God. The book of Psalms was written several hundred years before Christ. But as Christ arrived on the scene, and as he walked through the streets of Jerusalem and he taught his disciples and his followers, he told them one thing. He said, I am the light of the world. And when he said this, it struck many as it complexed many people. But what he was saying was something that we wouldn't have the full revelation of till years later. And when we look at Psalm 19 and we see that the heavens declare the glory of God and Jesus himself called himself the light of the world, we can quickly see a depiction unfolding of our solar system and how the light of the world, our sun, is at the center of our solar system. And all of the planets orbit around the sun. Number one, the sun gives life. Apart from the light and the heat of the sun, We would freeze to death and life would cease to exist on this planet. Without the sun, there can be no life. And Jesus, as he looked at his followers, he said, I am the light of the world. And what he was declaring to them, number one, is aside from me, apart from me, there can be no life. Without me, you will never encounter the Father. There is only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son. There's only life in one, and that is in Christ Jesus. Not only that, but the depiction of the solar system paints the order and the majesty and the sovereignty of our God, that the sun, as it rests in the center of the solar system, just like Colossians, it says that it holds all creation together. And the sun, right in the middle of our solar system, keeps everything by the gravitational pull together. Orbiting around it, the sun being the center of the solar system, the sun not being an afterthought, not just being anything, but the center. And Christ was telling us through this depiction, and Psalm 19 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. Number one, Jesus is the light of the world. He's the only way to life. And number two, he is the center of our universe. He's the center of our solar system. He's the center of our life. It is all about Jesus. This walk is not about you and it's not about me. It's not about how much we can gain or acquire or the respect of men that we can earn. Rather, it is all about us redirecting the glory and the praise and the adoration back to the one who gave life and spoke it all into motion. Our world and our life ought to revolve right around the one who is the center of it all, and that is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. If you're thankful, give him praise. Now, this next one is about to get wild in here. Look at the person sitting beside you. Tell them it's about to get wild. It's about to get wild in here. This one is crazy. This is crazy. I want to read this to you again, Psalm 19, and I want you to just really listen closely, and I'm gonna show you what it's talking about. This is epic. I'm telling you, if you're in this place today and you often struggle with sharing your faith with other people, maybe you always find yourself at a loss for words, or maybe you just wish that you had something to stand on that could convince unbelievers, this is it right here. I'm gonna tell you right now, this is crazy. This is a game changer. Psalm 19, verse 1. I'm gonna read it again. The heavens tell of the glory of God. The skies display his marvelous craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. And night after night, they continue to make him known. Did you know that creation itself preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ every single day? Creation preaches the gospel. Creation doesn't just point towards a God, an obscure God, an abstract God. No, 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 no. Creation points directly and distinctly to Jesus every day. What did Jesus call himself? He said, I am the light of the world. Every night, every evening, the sun, the light of the world, the one who radiates and expels darkness, rests along the horizon of the west. And as the sun fades below the western horizon, darkness begins to cloak over the face of the earth, symbolically reminding us of the price that was paid 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, that the light of the world, perfection personified, would come in the radiance of light, displaying the glory of God for all men to see, would lay down his life willingly for you and for me. But the beauty of it all is that darkness doesn't last always. And every single morning, the sun, the light of the world, is faithful to rise up over that eastern horizon, declaring to every living thing that the Son of God, the light of the world, the one who is the architect of the universe, the one who expels all darkness, is surely not dead, surely not locked up in the grave, but alive and risen forevermore, illuminating the planet and giving life to every living thing. If you're thankful, give him praise today. Do you see what I'm talking about? Do you see it? Every single day, the heavens tell of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every night, the sun rests to remind us that he laid down his life for us. But every single morning, with the breaking of dawn, it reminds us that our Savior forever lives and he is risen from the dead. Do you see it? Does anybody see it but me? Anybody pumped about this? If you and I never said another word, the creation, the heavens themselves would declare the glory of God and the resurrection of the Savior of the world. Day after day and night after night, the heavens tell us of the glory of God without a spoken word, yet their words have permeated throughout all corners of the world. Absolutely beautiful. And that concludes point number 5 of this series. The heavens tell of the glory of God. All right, if you have your Bibles, flip with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, picking up in verse number 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3. We're all the way up to point number 6 now, out of an eight-point series. We're not going to keep going forever. But I'm only going to talk about this next point, and that's it for this morning. So there's only 2, so don't get nervous. You'll be all right. Point number 5, the heavens tell the story. The heavens, they declare the glory of God every single day. Now, point number 6 is, if you're taking notes on the series, it's just called this, the fingerprint of God. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. I want to read that verse one more time for you. The fingerprint of God is all around you. The evidence of our Creator is all around us. It is hidden in plain sight. His fingerprint is on all living things. Hebrews 11:3. I want to read it one more time. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. The author of Hebrews wrote in 70 AD that by faith we understand that the God of the universe, the architect of creation, he made all things that are seen from elements which are unseen. I'm going to say that again. The author of Hebrews said in 70 AD that every physical thing created was comprised and composed of things which are unseen. It was not until the 17th century that science could literally prove that all mass in the material physical universe was created and sustained by atoms microscopic beyond the vision of men, that all physical life was created and held together by things which are unseen. The Bible beat science by 1,530 years. This morning, I'm going to spend the rest of today talking to you about the fingerprint of God. I'm telling you, it is absolutely undeniable. My faith has gone completely to the next level after studying this, after studying for this series. Like, there is no shadow of a doubt at all in my life that he lives, that he reigns forever. There wasn't to begin with, but now never. I'm never going back. The fingerprint of God is everywhere, and he has created all things physical from the unseen. Now, I want to talk to you about the DNA that composes every living thing. DNA is a molecule that encodes genetic instructions of all living organisms. DNA is the code or the language in which we are formed and fashioned. Science, their definition, the secular intellectual definition of DNA, is the substance, the molecule that is responsible for development and the function of all living organisms. Now, I'm just going to start and lay this on the line real fast. I am not an expert on any of this, but what I have studied is just enough to make the picture come alive. DNA is the molecule, it is the building block for every living organism. It is the one thing, the molecule, that is responsible for the development, the growth, the adaptation of every living thing. And not only is it responsible for the development of every living thing, but it is also responsible for sustaining every living thing. DNA not only develops, but it sustains. It holds together. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 16, Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. I love Colossians 1. This is awesome. Listen to what Colossians says. For by him were all things created that are in the heaven and in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him, all things consist. In other words, Colossians 1:16 says this. Through God, he developed, he created, he formed all forms of life. And not only did God form or develop every living thing, but it says that he also sustains them. And he holds all of creation together. DNA, if you were to study it, it is comprised of four elements, four different chemical elements that compose DNA. And DNA is a coding system. Science will not deny this. Atheists will not deny this. Unbelievers will not deny this. DNA is a highly complex code, a series of those four elements replicated, changed, manipulated time and time again, which form the building blocks, if I can talk, the building blocks for all living things. DNA is a complex, advanced coding system that tells each cell in the human body how to form and how to function, how to operate, and it sustains it together. Scientists have likened DNA coding to computer programming. Computer programmers, when they design software or when they program a specific computer for a function, they do it through a series of codes that are series or replications of one another. And the codes instinctively tell the machine how to operate. The codes instruct specific functions and operations out of the computer software or the program. It is programmed by a programmer. It is put there not on accident, but by purpose. How is it that a random universe could give life to human beings and the DNA molecule that is absolutely profound? It has billions of entities in one singular molecule. And science has proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that DNA is precise. It is a code, they even call it. Now, let me ask you just a question real fast. Could it be possible that such a highly intellectual code and sequence of elements that are so precise and so exact that they develop the human cell and sustain it together, could it be that that was all just a big mistake or a haphazard random event? DNA in itself is the slam dunk, shut it down, end of discussion. And listen, all this propaganda that tells you that everything is random and everything is just chaotic, I'm telling you, you have to understand, there are scientists, well-respected, world-renowned scientists on both sides of the debate. There are world-renowned scientists that argue against intelligent design, but there are even more who argue on the side of intelligent design. The evidence is undeniable. The fingerprint of God is on every one of you, in every single area of your life. The DNA molecule, the building block of life, controls the color of your eyes, the color of your hair, how tall you're gonna be, how fast you're gonna be, how you're gonna develop, and how your body will sustain together. Modern science now, more than ever, has accumulated evidence that points to an undeniable creator. And listen, the odds are unbelievable. It's like impossible for all of these molecules to assemble together for this specific purpose and function. The fingerprint of your creator is all around you, and it is hidden even in plain sight. If you study this, you will discover that many atheist scientists have converted to faith in God over the discovery and the depths of the DNA structure. It is absolutely profound and complex. The DNA composition is something that is a code. It is highly regarded as an encoding for the genetic structure of all living organisms. Friend, you can believe in chance and you can believe in randomness if you want to, but the signs and the fingerprint of God is all around you. The DNA that comprises your life, that comprises the cells within your body, those molecules have a specific function and purpose. And how could they unless a creator far greater and far more intelligent fashioned you? The Bible says that you were fearfully and you were wonderfully made. You were created in the image and in the likeness of God Himself. He took great pride in creating you. He went to great lengths to bring life into you. You are not random. You are not an accident. You didn't crawl out of nothing. I'm telling you, you are the image and the likeness of a perfect and holy God who created you in his image and likeness, so that when you look in the mirror, you not only see yourself, but you see the image of the one who breathed life into you. I'm telling you, God loves you beyond all comprehension, and you are not an accident. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made. And God has not just created you with this complex molecule structure, but he has also hidden talents and gifts within every single one of you. The Bible says he has given to each man the ability to do certain things well. He's given you abilities. He's given you talents. He's put greatness within you. And he's given you something that's even greater than talent. He's given you something that's even greater than any DNA molecule. He promised you his spirit. And Jesus said, he said, to as many as would receive me, I will give them the power to be the sons of God. He has given you his spirit without measure. I'm telling you, this is no accident, and this is no coincidence. The fingerprints of God are on every living thing. And he loves you more than life itself. And he demonstrated that on Calvary's cross by surrendering the life of his only son in exchange for you and in exchange for me. That is not random. That is not accidental. That is divine perfection and the personified plan of God unfolding right before us. Anybody thankful for the Lord this morning? Anybody thankful for the greatness of God? The codes and the order and the complexity of DNA is in direct opposition with the random theory of our universe. You really, seriously cannot believe both. The fingerprints of God are on everything. Now, I'm gonna talk to you about a couple other points within the fingerprint of God. And I don't know about you, but this next one just blew my mind. Like, I was like about to scream and kick stuff. It was awesome. Not only if DNA, if the coding, the instructions within DNA, if that's not enough for you, there's more that have the fingerprints of God on it. In the 12th century AD, there is a Italian mathematician by the name of Leonardo Fibonacci. And he developed what we now call the Fibonacci sequence. The Fibonacci sequence is something that's similar to DNA, but it's a mathematical sequence that scientists have discovered in a wide variety of living things. This Fibonacci sequence, you have to pray for me, y'all. Fibonacci, we're not talking about something else here. Fibonacci sequence is found in a wide variety of living things. Listen, it goes like this, and I'm going to do my best to just throw this out there, and I just pray that you catch it. But basically, just to sum it up for you like this, You can Google it, you can look it up, you can go to your library, your encyclopedia, whatever you want to do, and look at this. This is absolutely profound. He discovered a number sequence that is found replicated throughout nature, throughout trees, throughout your human body, throughout the flowers, and throughout the galaxies. It is a complex number system that science has seen in creation time after time after time again. The sequence goes a little something like this. It starts with zero and the number one. And each new number in the sequence is simply the sum of the two before it. For example, 0 + 1 = 1. And then you move down the line and then you go 1 + 1 = 2. Now, I know this isn't real deep on you yet. 2 + 1 = 3, and you continue to add the sum of the last two. 2 + 3 = 5. 5 + 3 = 8, and it goes on in an infinite exchange. It's called the Fibonacci sequence. Now, when you put this Fibonacci sequence on a graph, what you'll discover is that these numbers, if you pinpoint the numbers, if you chart them around, this is incredible. It literally makes an arc, like a perfect sequence, like a spiral. This spiral is exactly what is beheld in nature time and time and time again to the exact specifications of this sequence. So much so that it cannot be an accident. So much so that it is undeniable. This Fibonacci sequence is a spiral sequence that is found in flowers, sand dollars, seashells, snowflakes, and even the galaxy that we are in. Creation speaks volumes. The blueprint, the fingerprint of your creator is on every living thing. And I just want to encourage you, look up this sequence. Look up this number sequence that I'm talking about. It will blow your mind. For example, the flower, on flowers, for a daisy flower for existence, for example, it has a central core of florets that are arranged by opposing spiral formations. In every daisy, here's what you can find. In a daisy, you will find 21 rows of this spiral that go to the right and 34 which go to the other side. 21 and 34 are also numbers in the Fibonacci sequence. In other words, the fingerprint of God, these spirals, this numeric sequence that we can find in creation, we find it in the daisies, we find it in the sunflowers, we find it in the seashells that wash up along the shore. They're even in the ocean currents, hurricanes. Meteorologists have found this exact number system in hurricanes as they sweep across the Atlantic Ocean. This exact sequence is found in creation. And not only is it found in the little minuscule things like a daisy or like a sunflower, a hurricane, but it also is the exact specification. It is the exact sequence of the galaxy in which we are in. And science, both liberal scientists and conservative alike, cannot deny this sequence shows up in living things throughout nature time after time after time again, so much so that it is undeniable that the blueprints of your creator, the fingerprint of your creator, is evident in all of creation. In other words, if it were random, if it were all just an accident, if it were all just coincidental, then why are even the daisies designed with perfection and with excellence? Why are the sunflowers rotating in a spiral vortex that is exact, that science can prove that it is done to the blueprint, replicated time and time again? If it were all random and if it were all accidental, then why is every minute detail of creation so exact and precise? It is that way for a reason, that it would point us to the greatness of our God. Creation tells the story of its creator. It is undeniable. Give him praise this morning. He is awesome, and there is nobody like him in all the world. In addition to that, the Fibonacci sequence has also been observed in the DNA molecule itself. Listen to this. The DNA molecules themselves are 34 angstroms long and 21 angstroms wide. Again, 21 and 34 are in the Fibonacci sequence. Time after time after time, you see the sequence unveil itself. It is the blueprint of your creator. If it were all random, then why would it follow these universal laws? This is a universal law, coding, order. It all points to intelligent design. If it were an accident, if it were coincidental, they would not be exact. They would not be precise, and everything would be skewed. We're not done. Almost winding down this morning. Almost. In addition to the DNA coding, and in addition to the Fibonacci sequence, there is also something that science calls the golden ratio. And it's very similar to the Fibonacci sequence because the golden ratio is also something that is found all over creation. The golden ratio is 1.61803. That will be significant in a minute. But the golden ratio is something that dentists, doctors, scientists have all uncovered. And the golden ratio is linked directly to the Fibonacci sequence. They're directly related, directly. In fact, to get the golden ratio of 1.61803, if you take the numbers in the Fibonacci sequence and you divide them backwards, for example, if you divide 8 by 5 or you divide 5 by 3, you will come out with the golden ratio of 1.618 or something very, very close to it. This is something that scientists have observed in the sequence and in the pattern of creation. For example, the golden ratio, here's a practical example of how this shows up in creation. If you look at the bones that comprise your finger, and you start with the bone that's the furthest away, that's out on the tip, if you multiply that bone from the end to the knuckle, and you multiply it by the golden ratio, 1.618, it will be the exact dimensions of this next bone that are on the other side of that knuckle. And guess what? If you take that knuckle and you multiply it by the golden ratio, you will find the length of this bone right here. And that's universal. Not only is that found in our hands, but it's found in our dental records as well. Our teeth are linked together with this golden ratio. Dentists have noticed it. Doctors, biologists, they all keep seeing this number over and over and over again. Biologists have discovered that in most people, if you multiply from their abdomen, from their belly button to the top of their head, you take that length and you multiply it by the golden ratio, you will find the length from their belly button to the bottom of their feet. It's this crazy sequence, it's this crazy code that keeps showing up time and time and time again. And this is not hearsay, this is not propaganda, this is science has proven it. They stand on it, it's considered to be a law by many scientists. It's a pattern in which we were created. The fingerprints of God, the replication of his blueprint. The careful piecing together of the human body is very, very well documented. You are not an accident. You are not a mistake. You are not coincidental or haphazard. God created you specifically for his glory and with a perfect function. There's a famous quote that says this: mathematics is the language in which God has written the universe. That was stated by Galileo. Mathematics is the language in which God has written the universe. All of these things point to the evidence of a creator. As the band comes back to help me close this morning, I want to take this golden ratio for just a minute because I think it preaches something pretty incredible. The golden ratio that we see replicated throughout nature, throughout the laws of physics, even inside the human body, is 1.61803. This is not an accident or coincidence. I want you to listen to this. God is very precise in all that he does. In all of creation, there is a meaning. There is a reason. There is symbolism behind everything that he does. He doesn't give life or he doesn't do something for the sake of doing it. He does it for a greater purpose, to reflect a greater glory, to reveal a greater truth. God is precise. He's exact. He doesn't just use random things. And listen to this. If you go through the golden ratio number by number and you research the biblical meaning behind each number, it's pretty epic. And here it is. The number one, which is the first number in the golden ratio, biblically, the context of the number one means new beginning. On the first day, God made all things new. Day number one, the number one means new beginning. In the golden ratio, the next number is the number six. And biblically, the number six is the manifestation of sin, the weakness of man, or the fall of humanity because of sin. The third number in the golden ratio, again, is the number one, which means new beginning. The next number, the fourth one, is the number eight, which biblically means to be born again. The fifth number is the number zero, which means zero. And the number three in the biblical sense, which is the last number that is in the general golden ratio, the number three means divine completion. Now, that might not mean much to you, but just hold on. Because if we put it in order, here's what this golden ratio that shows up all over in every living thing, in your dental records, to biologists, in the universe, in the trees, every living thing has this number that keeps showing up time and time again. It's not a coincidence. If you take that number and you look at the biblical meaning behind these numbers, here's what you'll uncover. It's the story of creation. Number one means new beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and God created all things. He made it new the first time. Then, as he placed man in his perfect creation, man did what? He sinned, and he fell short of the glory of God. Adam chose selfishness over fellowship with God. The manifestation of sin came into the new world that God had created, causing the fall of man. The next number, number one again, says there was a new beginning. If you've read your Bible, after the fall of man, God flooded the earth to eradicate it, to cleanse it from unrighteousness, starting again with a new beginning with Noah. Then, even after Noah, man still couldn't find his way. So the fourth number is the number eight, which is the number of being born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee, he said, unless you be born again, you will never see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was the one who brought the concept of being born again to life. He is the only way to the Father. He is the only way to life. He in Jesus is the only way to be born again. You seeing this? The number zero, I think God just slipped that in there for fun, because Jesus plus nothing and we still have everything. Jesus plus zero, we still have life, we still have salvation. And Jesus plus nothing, not our good works, not our accomplishments, none of those things, Christ plus nothing. And then the last number is the number three, divine completion. It was in this process when God created the earth, the sin, the fall of man, realizing his dependence upon God, God flooding the earth, making it new, giving him another chance, and then sending his son so that all humanity could be born again and find life eternal through Jesus. And Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And that was the plan that was perfect in the eyes of God. And that is the golden ratio that constantly shows up in every living thing. It shows up everywhere, this golden ratio. Do your homework. Look it up. Your mind will be blown. So what we see is this, that throughout all of creation, from our fingertips to the hurricanes, from the galaxies, from the daisies, from the sunflowers, from the galaxy above, we see the number constantly resurface, telling of the plan of redemption for the humanity through God. Aren't you thankful for the plan and the promise of God?